page 864 in your pew Bibles. Roberta, thank you so much. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word. Let's begin verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The year was 1965. Not quite 60 years ago. It was the year that race riots broke out in Watts, California, that resulted in the deaths of 34 people. 14,000 National Guardsmen were called out in an effort to maintain order. The war in Vietnam was continuing to grow as the number of U.S. troops sent to Vietnam increased in that year from 50,000 to 125,000. The anti-war movement began as 35,000 war protesters gathered to march in Washington, D.C. Several northeast states and much of New York City were hit by rolling blackouts lasting over 13 hours. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. led a march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, where the marchers were met by local and state police, leading to the marchers being attacked by police dogs, nightsticks, and tear gas. 17 marchers were hospitalized, leading to the name of that day being called Bloody Sunday. On Palm Sunday of that year, on April 13th, an estimated 51 tornadoes hit six Midwestern states, killing 271 people and injuring another 1,500. Fighting broke out in 1965 on the border between India and Pakistan. And before that brief war ended, 6,800 soldiers were killed. That's just a snapshot of 1965. It's the same year that a song was written by Burt Bacharach and recorded by Jackie DeShannon. And the title of the song was, What the World Needs Now is Love. You remember the words, What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Our text today reminded us that God so loved the world. What does that mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you that God loves the world? Well, first of all, I want to try to define to you what the world is not. And then we'll finally reach to what the world is. The world is not this worldly system that surrounds us. It is not a political, a religious, an educational, a financial system. The world that God loves is not what you and I so easily get caught up in as far as what's going on in the world. In fact, Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and he said to him, No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the world, but rather they try to please their commanding officer. James wrote in James chapter 4, verse 4, You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. John, in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but it comes from the world. We live in a world that very easily entangles us. It attempts to suck us in. It attempts to draw us in so that we become entangled in the events and the things and the systems of the world. We become preoccupied with our retirement funds. We become preoccupied with Wall Street. We become preoccupied with this system and that system and what's going on here and what's going on there and how what is going on in the world is it going to affect me. We see it at the gas pumps. We see it in the grocery stores. We see it when we order something and it takes longer than normal. And so we look at the world and we say, look how the world is affecting my life. What the world is doing to me. Just a few weeks ago, Sherry and I were on vacation and we went to Letchworth State Park. And at Letchworth, I'm sorry, we went to Letchworth State Park in New York. And at Letchworth State Park, there are three waterfalls. They call them the upper, the middle, the lower. And as I was thinking this week about the world and God loving the world, it reminded me of circles. And the smallest circle regarding God loving the world is the worldly systems that we're all entangled with. That is not the world Jesus was talking about when he said God so loves the world. That is a very small little circle of systems and events and things that happen in the world that affect my life. God does not love the worldly systems because they will entangle and ensnare and encapsulate us. God not only does not define the world as worldly systems, God does not define the world as my world. That's a little bigger circle. Because my world involves my family, my finances, my plans, my friends, my comfort, my will, what I want done, how I can control things. That's my world. That's the things that I feel like I've got some control over, and the main thing that I want to do in my world is keep it going the way I want it. So whatever I have to do to keep my world the way I want my world, I'm willing to do it. And if you disrupt my world, you've disrupted me. That's not the world Jesus was talking about when he said God so loved the world. That's the world that I love. And that's the world that I become God over because I want this world to revolve around me and revolve around my wishes and my wants and my plans. And this world becomes, if I'm not careful, it becomes my identity. And how I see myself and how I feel about myself is all based upon how much control I have over my world. And that is not the world God loves. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Again in Luke 14, verse 27, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And then Paul says this in Galatians 5:24, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." Jesus said, God so loved the world. This is the big circle. This is the circle that is so huge that you can't put your arms around it. This is a circle of such dimension that it is almost overwhelming. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, regarding the world. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The world. John 3:17, we read it earlier. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." And Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 1:15, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." The world that Jesus loves is outside the world that we call Pisgah. The world that Jesus loves is outside of the world that is called by your name. The world that Jesus loves is outside of Wall Street and the White House and the Supreme Court and any other system that operates in our world. The world that Jesus loves should be a world and a love that causes me to struggle with how do you love that world. It's easy for me to love the worldly systems because they bring me pleasure. It feels great when we get a letter from Fidelity that says, "Your stocks have increased." We haven't got those in quite a while, but we do remember them. And it's great to get that news. And it's great in the world that I call Rodney World, when my children are happy and when my grandchildren are doing well and when things are going the way I want and Sherry's doing what I want her to do, which is very rare in Rodney World. I don't have any trouble loving that world. I don't have any trouble loving that bigger world that I call Rodney World. The struggle I have is in loving the world. And that's the world God loves. And so that is why it is a struggle for us. Because God loves a world that we don't love. He loves a world that we don't even like. He loves people that we don't love. He loves people that we don't want to be around. He loves people that tick us off. He loves people that we hate. God loves the world. If that world involves a hooker who walks the streets at night to earn enough money to get another drug dose, God loves that world. God loves the world when a Russian soldier ties the hands of a Ukrainian woman behind her back and executes her. God loves the world when a Christian pastor in his church is attacked by Muslims and is hacked to death in front of his church and then his church set on fire. God loves the world. God loves the world when an 18-year-old sneaks into the back door of an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. God loves the world. That's not the world we love. We want to see that world end. We want to see those people get what they deserve. We want to see justice executed and wrongs made right. That's the way we see the world. But God loves the world. So the question that I have to ask myself today as I prepare to take the elements of communion is this: do I love the world? Not my world. I know I love my world. Not the world of the systems. I love that world when it gives me the news I want to hear. But do I love the world? Do I love the world like Ellie Garcia did, a 9-year-old student at Robb Elementary School who would have been 10 years old this Saturday, who just a few days before she was murdered in her classroom posted a 15-second video on TikTok in which she said, and I quote, "Hey guys, I just wanted to give you a little catch-up. Jesus, He died for us, so when I die, I'll be up there with Him. In my room, I have 3 pictures of Him." Do I love the world? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's the world that we are called to love. Jackie DeShannon sang some 58 years ago, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." And if that was true in 1965, it is much more true today. What the world needs now is for the church to love the world. And for us to stop being selective with who we love and realize that no, it's not just for some, but it's for everyone. You say, "Rodney, I can't love that way." You're exactly right. I can't either. But God can love that way through me. Holy Spirit can love that way through you. So, Father, as we prepare to come to this altar to take these elements of communion that are symbols of Your love, may we recognize that You don't love my world and Your goal is not to keep my world the way I want it kept. You don't love worldly systems and your desire and Your goal is not to keep the stock market and White House operating the way I think it should. You love the world. And Your love challenges me with the question of how much do I love the world. So as we come to this altar today, may we be confronted as we hold the broken bread and the cup with the love of God and the realization that God loves the world. In Jesus' name, amen.